And again, I pass The Night in Yo-Jo by Stilton Basket, read by Daisy Diversions. The fandom is the untamed, or MDZS. The relationship is Lan Si Chen / Ni Ming Jue. Rating, general audience, and no archive warnings apply. Additional tags for alternate universe historical, political drama, General Ni Ming Jue, official Lan Huan, in which the emperor tries to force Ni Ming Jue into marriage, and Lan Si Chen is not having it. Introspection, marriage of convenience, plus Nia Lan baby Jingyi. Happy ending, but also marriage for love, and these two are so in love. Summary. After spending 12 years at the Western Front, Ni Ming Jue is granted permission to leave his posting for a month-long vacation in the capital. In Yo-Jo, Lan Si Chen awaits his beloved's return. Author's Notes. For Fishing for Hope. This fic was written for the Nie Long Gacha for Gaza. Thank you to the wonderful Fishing for Hope for participating. A few notes about the AU. This is a vaguely historical AU. We have a fictional emperor, Wen Chu, but you can place this fic's timeline somewhere during the Tang Dynasty. To read Lan Wangji's side of the AU, click here, link. Re-magistrates. They were usually allowed to keep the same posting for no more than 3 years. For fic purposes, magistrates in this AU may be assigned longer postings if the region in question is dangerous / otherwise undesirable, and thus unlikely to tempt another would-be candidate. Or if the magistrate is very well suited to their post and has requested an extension. Re the invented term Nang Qin, composed of the word male plus wife, is used to refer to the marrying in spouse in a gay marriage, i.e. the one who leaves his natal family to live with his partners. Title from Stopping the Night at Zhengyang, written by an unknown author around 820 AD and translated by Arthur Whaley in 1918. The poem goes as follows. I grew up at Zhengyang. I was still young when I left. On and on, 40 years passed till again I stayed for the night at Junyang. When I went away, I was only 11 or 12. This year, I am turned 56. Yet thinking back to the times of my childish games, whole and undimmed, still they rise before me. The old houses have all disappeared. Down in the village, none of my people are left. It is not only that streets and buildings have changed, but the steep is level and level changed to steep. Alone unchanged, the waters of the Qiyu and Yu, passionless, flow in their old course. Reader's Notes. I'm recording this for Voice Team Mystery Box 2025. Thank you to Stilton Basket, as always, for having blanket permission to Podfic. On an early spring evening In the third year of Emperor Yao Xiao's reign, a junior official from the Magistry of Works calls Lan Xichen into an empty side chamber before he leaves the palace. Lan Zhang, official He says, just as Lan Xichen opens his mouth to ask what the matter is. There's something this junior must tell you. Lan Xichen nods and shows him to a seat. What is it, Su Di? He asks patiently, for there is a deep furrow between the young man's brows, and his gaze has moved towards the door 3 times since Lan Xichen first shut it behind them. If you are in some kind of trouble, then...
No, no!
Hersu replies, wringing his hands.
It is only, well, this junior visited the Cheng estate during the court recess yesterday, and I heard...
He stares at Lan Xichen imploringly, as if he hoped that Lan Xichen would guess at what he had learned at the Empress's Dowager Natal Home without Hersu having to say a word. And then he takes a shallow breath and shuts his eyes.
I know that you are a close friend of Nie Jiang Jun's. I would never have spoken otherwise, he mutters. But one of my readers is the son of a cook at the Cheng estate, and I went there with him yesterday so that he could see his mother. And as we were leaving, I heard the emperor's plans to arrange a match between Nie Jiangjun and the empress dowager's niece. And the thing is to be done as soon as Nie Jiangjun's return to the capital the day after tomorrow. Lan Xichen remains silent. You can surely guess what the purpose of such a betrothal must be, Hersu says in a low voice. But I thought to inform you before Nie Jiangjun comes to the palace and in case.
And with that, Hersu salutes him and flees the chamber as if in fear of pursuit, leaving Lan Xichen alone. He stands by the darkening windows for another ke, watching his fellow officials come and go in the courtyard below. And then he turns and makes his way out of the ministry with his heart thundering in his breast. In truth, he expected the Emperor Yao Qiao, whom Lan Xichen first knew as simply Wen Qiu, when they were children. Tai Zi Densia, after the latter's coming of age, would move to check the Nie family's influence sooner rather than later. He and Nie Mingjue discussed it at length before Mingjue Zhang's first rode into battle at 16, though neither of them could think of a way to spare Mingjue from suspicion, when a complete disinterest in politics and power had proven insufficient to prevent his father's downfall. And in the end, they let the matter lie and chose to hope that a solution might present itself in time to preserve Mingjue Zhang. Likely, Mingjue's 2 choices would be these: agree to the marriage to the Empress Dowager's niece, thus ensuring that his lineage would remain entwined with the imperial family for as long as the Cheng clan endured, or decline and surrender his military authority, since his refusal would be taken as proof of disloyalty to the throne.
Mingjue Zhang could never live and eat at ease with such a woman in his rear courtyard. Nor could he simply let her alone and be her spouse in name only, for such treatment would give the lady grounds to charge him for neglect and give the emperor grounds to dismiss him for failing to uphold his duties as a husband. But he would be loath to give up his post, for he took it up prematurely out of respect for his father, and knowing this, the emperor had guessed, perhaps rightly, that Mingjue would agree to wed Lady Cheng for the sake of his clan. It would have been better if Mingjue had married earlier, Lan Xichen thinks dully, as his carriage draws up to the Lan estate main gate. If there was a living Nie Furen, then
it would have done no good if he were already married.
Lan Xichen's uncle sighs. After Xichen presents himself at his father's old study and explains Mingjue's predicament.
If he were a Lan, then certainly. But taking of concubines is not forbidden to the Nie, and the Tong family will certainly have a Su daughter or two who could be sent to Nie Zhengjun.
An alliance formed by way of Su-born concubine cannot be considered an alliance at all, his father countered. And if the bride is not a legitimate wife, neither the emperor nor the Cheng clan can retaliate against Nie Zhengjun for choosing to neglect her D-born daughter or not. Xichen is right. Nie Zhengjun must marry if he wishes to keep his freedom, and the sooner the better.
But when? Lan Xichen asks, tightening his grip on his teacup. He will come to the capital 2 days from now, and the emperor will summon him to the palace 2 days after that. On either side of him, Lan Qiren and Lan Hai Jin exchange troubled glances.
Are you planning to send word to his battalion before it arrives?
Lan Hai Jin asks cautiously.
You would likely be found out, my son, and though I do not think the emperor would punish you for it, interfering with his intentions outright would be.
Lan Xichen shakes his head. I do not know where Mingjue Zhang is, or what road he has taken, and even if word were to reach him early, what could he do? No, I plan to wait until he visits us here at Cloud Recesses, since he has never returned to Bu Jing She without stopping to see me first.
And what of the official from the Ministry of Works?
There is nothing to fear in that respect, Lan Xichen says slowly. Her sir lacks the standing to call upon a servant of the Cheng clan, so I doubt that the reader's visit was an official one. They must have been admitted at the staff gate. The guards would have recognized the reader since a bookkeeper at the Cheng Fu just a few years ago, and met with the reader's mother in the servants' quarters without Cheng Qiang or his wife being informed that they were there at all. And if there is no record of her Su visiting the manor, how could the emperor know I was the one to mourn Ming Zhuang?
Then the news of the marriage arrangement. If I were to guess, it came from one of the Cheng Furen maids,
Lanfren says, frowning.
The prospective bride is her daughter, after all, and a trusted maid from Chanfuren's courtyard would know of any plans her young mistress's marriage. If the maids were discussing the matter in the servants' compound while her sir and his reader were there, then...
At this, Lung Hai Jin lifts his hand.
That is very well, but Si Chen must not forget that this is the Nie clan's burden to bear in the end. I hope you can aid your friend in some way, my son, but you must not do anything foolish, even if this ends in Nie Zheng Jun's giving up his post or being made to marry the Cheng girl. Lan Xichen stared at him, stunned. In truth, his father is right. But Lan Xichen has considered the emperor's distrust of the Nie clan as a shared burden since the night of his 14th birthday, when Ming Jue's great-uncle sent a runner back to the capital to report that Nie Hong Yin had been severely wounded at the Western Front. Ming Jue came to Lan Xichen's window just before midnight, his breath still perfumed by the sweet sesame soup they drank at Xichen's birthday dinner. And then, before Lan Xichen could ask what he was doing at the Lan Fu house so late, Ming Jue slipped into his room and declared that he would ask the emperor to send him to Nie Hong Yin's side the following day.
My Shugong has been wary of the emperor for years, he says hollowly, as Lan Xichen lit a fire to banish the chill from Ming Jue's cold fingers and toes. His letter said he suspects that the doctor who treated Fu Qin after he was wounded did something to worsen the injury. In Shugong's opinion, the worst of the fighting is over, which means that Fu Qin has served Hong Sheng's purpose and can now be put aside.
Ming Jue Zhang spent that night at the cloud recesses, though he ought to have returned to the Bu Jingsha to prepare for the long journey ahead. He and Lan Xichen talked and slept by turns, holding one another all the while, for Ming Jue would be riding to battle the next day. There was no telling if they would ever meet again on that side of the grave. Lan Xichen did not ask him to stay. After all, Ming Jue's assignment, which was granted before noon the following day, might have been his last chance to see his father alive. But as soon as he rode out of the capital, looking painfully young and determined in a cast-off set of Nie Hong Yin's old armor, Lan Xichen felt as if Nie Ming Jue had taken a part of himself with him. During the weeks that followed, Lan Xichen often found himself wishing that he had gone to the front with Ming Jue. He went so far as to ask Lan Xiren to intercede on his behalf. If Lan Hai Jin refused to send him, but Xu Fu forbade him to breathe a word to his father, lest the fear of losing a son so soon after the death of his wife kill Lan Hai Jin on the spot. Ming Jue's burden indeed, Lan Xichen thinks now as he prepares for bed. As if there was such a thing as a burden I would not gladly bear in his stead. Sleep eluded him for the next several hours. He tossed and turned until past Chao She, after which he lies still and watches the moon climb steadily towards its peak. But neither moon nor stars can soothe him tonight. which is why he hears it in an instant when someone leaps over the Hansha garden wall. Lan Chichen's eyes fill with tears. He rises from his bed and stumbles over to the window, dabbing at his eyes as he goes. And when he draws back the curtains, he finds a familiar smiling face framed against the deepening night beyond. Ming Jue, he whispers, sliding the window open. You're early. A tear breaks loose from the corner of his eye and slides down his cheek. But before Ming Jue can ask what the matter is, Lan Xichen leans across the windowsill and draws his friend into his arms.
Don't cry, Nia Mingjue says softly, placing his sun-darkened palm on Lan Xichen's cheek. I'm here, Lan Huan. I'm here.
Lan Xichen clings to him for a moment longer before taking Ming Jue's hand and guiding him into his room.
There,
Ming Jue Zhang soothes, steering him back to the warmth of Lan Xichen's bed.
Now, tell me what the matter is.
It is graver than you think, Lan Xichen sighs. And then, as Ming Jue's eyes grow wide with alarm, but no harm has come to me. I only wish it were that simple. Nia Ming Jue looks at him quietly.
Does your grief have something to do with me, then?
Lan Xichen inclines his head before drawing a harsh breath as Ming Jue lifts his hand and presses them to his chest.
You are alive and well. And before you, he mutters, Huaisong is as full of tricks as ever, and as healthy as a horse. And though I have not seen Wang Ji, I expect I will find him sitting in his study tomorrow morning, playing his chin and chiding you with his eyes for rising a full hour after Maosha.
A laugh bursts from Lan Xichen's lips. You are right there, Ming Jue Zhang.
What of Lao Shi and your father?
They are both well, Lan Xichen assures him. Father's health is not what it was last autumn, but his physicians are sure he will recover when the weather grows warmer. Nia Ming Jue's arms tightened around Lan Xichen's shoulders.
Then, whatever you fear for me, will it keep until I have rested beside my dearest friend for a Sha Chen or two, and taken a meal with him in the morning.
Despite himself, Lan Xichen begins to smile. Perhaps it can, he admits, but I do not think I will be able to sleep until you hear of the matter in full. In answer, Nia Ming Jue takes the quilt from Lan Xichen's bed and drapes it over their shoulders.
There, he says, wrapping an arm around Lan Xichen's waist. Now, sit, my Ha Huan, and tell me everything.
But what happened next? Pleads the furry bundle in the middle of Lan Xichen's bed. You can't stop telling me the story there, Adia. Indeed, I can, Lan Xichen says, stooping to kiss his son on the brow. It's 5:30 Hansha, my darling. You should have been asleep an hour ago. But I can't sleep, Jingyi complains. I have to know, Ba.
You already know what happens next, Lanzichen tells him, laughing. Your Azia and I talked all night, trying to think of a way to keep him from falling into the Emperor's trap. And 2 days later, he led a wedding procession to the gates of the Lanfu and asked for my hand in marriage.
Was it Nye Shush's idea?
It was. You see, Adia already loved me then, and your uncle knew I would have done anything for your Adia's sake. So Huaisong said we might as well marry before the emperor could force a bride on Ming Duezhong, since neither of us would ever have a companion we cherished more than the other. And marry we did, that very afternoon. Jingyi nodded and curls up against Lanzichen's side.
What about the emperor?
Huh? Lanzichen blinks. What about him?
Was he angry?
Very much so. I was dismissed from my position in the Ministry of Works, and your Shufu was given the magistrate's posting and sent away to Yunmeng. You see, Hongsheng could not touch me once I was married to your father, not unless he wished to go to the trouble of charging me with a crime, but he wanted to punish someone for what Ming Jue and I had done. So Wang Ji was made to suffer in my place.
But that didn't matter.
Long Jingyi yawns, furrowing deeper into his nest of furs.
Because Xiuxiu fell in love with Yunmeng as soon as he got there.
I don't know that it was Yunmeng exactly, Lanzichen says, smiling. But he did fall in love. And he still lives there to this day, so I suppose matters ended well for all of us. At that, he glances down at the child in his arms and finds, to his bittersweet delight, that Jingyi has fallen asleep. Good night, Jiangjin, he whispers, tucking Jingyi's feet under the blankets. Sleep well. He gazes at his son for a long while longer, his heart so full that he fears it might spill over. And then he slips out of Ming Jue's family's quarters and makes his way to the west side of the Xibei fortress, where his husband is leading the night watch on the uppermost parapet.
Nye Jiangjun is keeping watch in the north tower, my lord,
a junior official mutters, when Lanzichen reaches the sixth level of the fort and inquires after Ni Mingjue's whereabouts.
If I may be so bold as to say, Long Dayi, he will be happy to see you, for he did not expect you to come tonight.
Lanzichen nods in thanks, handing the youth a piece of silver as a reward, and then he turns at the first corner and sneezes as a blast of chill wind collides with his face. Carefully, my dear, a mirthful voice says close to Lanzichen's cheek. Watch your step. Xichen rummages in his sleeves and pulls out a bag of sweet almond biscuits. I brought you sweets, he says, tilting his chin at the stove and tea table perched beside the battlement. Will you have tea with me, Ming Duezhong? At this,
Nie Mingjue bursts out laughing and stoops to steal a kiss from Lan Xichen's lips.
Of course. Let me call a sentry to keep watch while I eat, for I would notice nothing moving below as long as you were before me.
Will you never stop teasing me so? Lan Xichen despairs as Mingjue lights a fire under the cauldron. We have been married for nearly 12 years, and you still behave as if...
But it's true, his husband says softly. I've never been able to look away from you, Ahuan. It's been that way since we were children.
He is thinking of the year we were married, Lan Xichen realizes. That year brought a great deal of tumult to them both, now that he thinks of it. Their clans arranged a wedding within 2 days of Mingjue's return from the front, with such ceremony and pomp that not a soul in the empire could doubt that their esteemed high general had married for love. And when they were surrounded at the palace and ordered to explain themselves to Wen Chu, Lan Xichen was summarily expelled from his official post.
If you are to be General Nie's Nanchi, what reason could you possibly have to remain at the Ministry of Works? The emperor had said, as Lan Xichen dug his nails into Ming Jue's palm to keep his new husband from shouting in outrage. Nie Zhangjun returns to the capital only once every few years, and it would be foolish to expect you to keep traveling back and forth from the frontier. Have a heart, Long Ai Qin. Your husband spent half his lifetime waiting for you, so why not spare yourself the ache of separation and move to Fort Shibei with him? Lan Xichen bowed and thanked Wen Chu for his advice. Niels trembling with relief, and not a fortnight later, Wang Ji received an imperial decree awarding him a magistrate position in Yunmeng. The assignment had not seemed unfavorable at first, though Wang Ji's examination scores merited far more than a posting as a simple country magistrate. But then, Lan Xichen learned that his brother would be expected to remain in Yunmeng for 15 years. Rather than 3. There was no time for him to plead for leniency on Wang Ji's behalf. Mingjue Zhang was ordered back to the front, leaving Lan Xichen with no choice but to accompany him. And there, amid the harsh winds and snows of his new home, Xichen discovered that the soft lament that echoed within him whenever Mingjue Zhang took leave of him in Yu Zhao had a deeper meaning than he had guessed. How could you bear to wait so long? Lan Xichen asked him once during one of their trips back to the capital. If the emperor had not decided to marry you off, would you never have spoken? Mingjue thought for a moment and shook his head. Why not? Because I know you, Nie Mingjue said gently. If you felt the same, my heart, you would have told me at once, and you did.
In answer, Lan Xichen seized Nie Mingjue's face and kissed him, too overwhelmed to speak. Just as he is doing now, for the sight of his beloved gazing at him with moonbeams caught in his braided hair has nearly sent him out of his wits. Mingjue wraps his arms around Lan Xichen's waist and kisses him in return. when one of the younger sentries arrives to stand watch on Nie Mingjue's behalf, he finds his general lost to the world, entwined so closely with his scholarly Nanqin that the boy cannot tell where one ends and the other begins. And behind them, a cauldron of tea, forgotten. Author's notes. Omake! The sentry, watching Nielan kiss in the moonlight, they wouldn't mind if I borrowed some cookies and a cup of tea, would they? 5 minutes later, the sentry, now very flustered, I will eat these cookies and have my tea and stare out across this frigid plain and pretend I do not notice anything taking place at the other end of this walkway. I've earned it. And that's a wrap. Come say hi on Tumblr at Stilton Basket and comment to feed your local Nielan stan today. Reader's notes. So I recorded this for Voice Team 2025 for the Guest of Honor Challenge. So we were asked to take an inanimate object and perform to it. So my object is a literal basket to represent Stilton Basket. So that is what I performed this pic to. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please consider going back and leaving kudos and or comments for the original author on AO3. Thanks for listening.
暗淡的辗转 几声相欠